Blog Talk Radio.
James? James? Well, for those who are wondering about what the state of California has done and what the domino effect potentially could be, some people have predicted, you know, the possible unraveling entirely of the, you know, of the NCAA itself. And while I don't think that's quite where things are going, at least not in the foreseeable future, it's going to start a little bit of a arms race, right, in terms of what conferences will do to try to keep up with the Joneses. And I believe that, you know, RUC and SEC country bills being sponsored, I'm sure every single state legislature in SEC country will soon adopt something similar. I think the Pac-12 obviously will, the rest of the Pac-12 states will get on board. I think the Big 12 will follow not long behind. So the question only remains in my mind is how quickly can the NCAA try to get in front of it and pretend it was their idea all along to be in favor of it after opposing what are basic rights for essentially all other American citizens and even other students. I mean, I was a theater student. There were students that were on theater scholarships for their talents who were not precluded from taking voiceover work or acting work or singing work or, you know, going on cruise ships and entertaining for money. You know, they weren't doing this just for the love of entertainment. They were willing and able to receive payment for what they did, and nobody seemed to have a problem with it. I knew students who were on full scholarships for art or graphic design who were allowed to profit from their talents. If someone commissioned them to make a sculpture or a painting or a poster, they were able to do it and get paid, and no one seemed to have any problems with it, right? For some reason, something specific, and I think it's because of the American attachment to the ideal of people playing for the love of the game, right? We want to believe, we know that professionals play for pay and, you know, love football, but we know that they do it largely because they get paid. And if you had to do what they had to do to play football, you'd want to get paid too. I mean, even once you get beyond the pain part of it and beyond all the hours of preparation and all the meetings and everything else, there's times when you're missing things with your family. I mean, we hear about some players who, you know, decide to go be with their wives or significant others during childbirth or illness, things like that. But that's not every player. If you're on the practice squad or if you're a guy who's number 52 on the 53-man roster, you might tell your loved ones, I'm sorry, baby, I can't come, right? If you're a guy who's a bubble player in the NFL, you have to give some things up. If you're a star, you can say, hey, I'm going to go see my kid be born. If you're Jalen Ramsey, if you're, you know, a star, if you're a quarterback, a starting quarterback, whatever. But if you're a guy who's, you know, L6 on kickoff coverage, you might not have the ability to go home if you're on the road to see some important life event take place. But all that being said, think about this for college students, right? These are college students. They go to classes. They go to study hall. They write papers. They go to labs. They spend well more than when you think about between preparation, physical and mental preparation to play a sport like football, it's like another full-time job. You can, yes, it's only allowed to 20 hours nowadays, 20 hours of practice time. But that 20-hour rule applies to practice time, right? It does not apply to film study that you do on your own. It doesn't apply to weightlifting, stretching, running, all that other stuff that you may do before or after practice. So once you add all of that stuff together, you're talking about basically a full-time job for which they receive no monetary compensation. Obviously, people bring up getting an education, people bring up all these other things, but other scholarship students receive all those same benefits without the same chances of serious injury, without the same onerous travel schedule, without, if they make a mistake, having to stand up at a press conference and say what happened. If you mess up a painting as an art student who's on scholarship, no one's going to ever have a press conference and ask you to explain, you know, why the forced perspective was incorrect in this hallway saying you shot you painted or whatever. But it's, like I said, I think it comes down to sort of a naive idea of holding on to the spirit of the dream of, I guess you might even say, of the love of the game being the thing that makes these athletes play. And people talk about the federal government getting involved. I'll be honest. I think the federal government should have better things to do. If they were going to get involved, they should get involved to curtail the power of the NCAA because, frankly, the NCAA has been acting in a concerted restraint of free trade for decades. And I think truly if the federal government gets involved, it'll probably end up causing the house of cards to come down. If I'm the NCAA, I'm trying to make it cut a deal, quite frankly, and make this go away. It's hard to justify the actual existence at times of the NCAA. They are, quote-unquote, a governance body, right? They help to make and enforce rules. But have you seen their facilities? You know, the big one in Kansas and some of the smaller NCAA facilities. I mean, these are palatial, amazing, beautiful buildings, right? The people who are at the top of the NCAA make very handsome salaries. Very handsome salaries with wonderful benefits and, you know, access to private jets and all this good stuff, the upper management of the NCAA. They're like corporate CEOs of a non-for-profit, you know, and once again, I know the head of the United Way and some other large non-for-profits also live quite well. I'm not really pointing that so much, but pointing that the people who run these other non-for-profits aren't demanding that, you know, other people don't get paid, which has always been the NCAA's whole bugaboo. And I remember when, okay, the Jeremy Bloom case, and some of you may not remember Jeremy Bloom, but he was an Olympic-level athlete in half pipe and freestyle, I believe, of snowboarding. And he was also a member of the University of Colorado's football team. And they basically put, you know, the metaphorical gun to his head and said, you have to give up all your sponsorships. They wasn't getting rich. It was just defraying some of his training and travel costs for competitions. I mean, I don't think I can stress enough how much he, it looked like he was getting stacks of cash. If you understand anything about what Olympic level snowboarders' lifestyles are like, he was far from rich. He's a scholarship athlete, you know, punt returner and slot receiver at University of Colorado, and an Olympic level athlete. The NCAA should be embracing people like Jeremy Bloom to be able to balance training for his sport at an Olympic level, being a student athlete, right, doing all the things he's trying to do. This is a person that should be in commercials for the NCAA instead of being involved in a lawsuit with the NCAA. I don't understand what they hope to accomplish by punishing people like Jeremy Bloom. There was a young man, I don't remember this young man's name, but he was a place kicker. And he had a YouTube channel that was very, very, very popular. He was receiving, once again, you know, sponsorships and the, you know, YouTube itself, you know, once again, he wasn't getting rich. He was receiving a little revenue stream from YouTube, from his YouTube channel. The NCAA said, you know, either you forfeit the scholarship or you shut down your, you know, your monetized YouTube channel. Now, this has nothing to do, you know what I mean, with his ability to kick a football. It wasn't like it was, you know, I don't know. It wasn't like he was using something that was proprietary to the school's football program or something. Like, the one thing, I guess, if somebody said, hey, you're monetizing highlights, or but he wasn't doing anything like that. It was a completely non-football-related YouTube channel. It just blows my mind. Blows my mind. And truly, I'd love to see the NCAA be forced to meet the same standards that other types of businesses, whether they be non-for-profit or for-profit, have to meet in order to maintain their ability to do business, because they've been allowed to run free and unfettered and do essentially what they will to the lives of these young people. And no one says boo. And frankly, there are other alternatives. The NAIA, which has been around since 1937, has about 250-something, 260, don't quote me on that, different member schools, mostly small. Many of them religious-based institutions that are members. And I think 11 different scholarship sports. Once again, don't quote me on that. I'm going off my memory of the NAIA. The NAIA does really what the NCAA should be doing, simply is a governing body, making rules and enforcing rules, but not making up a whole bunch of new rules, right? You never hear of the NAIA telling some Olympic athlete they can't take endorsements, so they can't take money from sponsors, you know. You never hear about that, you know. They seem to stick pretty much to academics, right? Hey, you can't have, you know, and of course kids at NAIA school tend to be good students anyway, but you don't hear about, you know, a bunch of wacky stuff with them. I mean, it's because they're smaller schools. But all the wacky stuff, for whatever reason, seems to always come from the NCAA, you know, wandering into places where, frankly, a governing body shouldn't have to wander. I can't wait for this thing to catch fire. I can't wait for them to slowly but surely lose their death grip on college athletics. College athletics existed before the NCAA, people, and they'll exist after the NCAA is gone, if it ever does go anywhere. It's just that people have gotten very used to it. You know, it has a lot of name recognition, a strong brand identity, I guess you might say. But it's not everything. And there's people who don't understand what the NCAA does. And so they say, well, you know, we can't do such and such. But no. The football deals, the television deals are negotiated between conferences. The conferences negotiate television deals. The NCAA undoubtedly wets its beak. You know, they sure they get their little piece of the pie. But the actual provider of the service is the conference and the football teams that belong to the conference involved. And separate independents like Notre Dame's only a semi-independent now, I guess, but Notre Dame and a few other independents negotiate their football contracts separately. But generally, a conference is responsible for